6 minutes after 12. Good afternoon. Another week. Another change in the traffic flow is... Oh, dear me. John Moss is down on Douglas Promenade for Manx Radio. We'll tell him exactly what's going on. But as of the last update, which was Friday afternoon, no further confirmed positive tests for coronavirus. We'll know this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Indeed, of course, there is only one media conference, and it's this coming Thursday at 4 o'clock. But as of Friday afternoon, no active cases, 336 confirmed cases, 7,008 concluded tests, and 23 people waiting results, and 30 people waiting a test. 30 waiting for a test, 28 of whom are part of an extended testing regime. We'll have more information at 4 o'clock today. News release comes out from the government. Of course, you'll hear it live on Manx Radio. And the conference is this coming Thursday. And a busy week, because this coming Wednesday on The Man in Line, the Chief Minister will be on. Howard Quayle, MHK, our Chief Minister, live on The Man in Line between 12 and 1. And if you want to get a question in ahead of time, email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. On Wednesday, Thursday, we're live at the Gaiety Theatre. The Gaiety Theatre celebrates its 120th anniversary, and we'll be live on stage at the Gaiety talking to some of the people who actually saved the Gaiety. The Gaiety was due to be demolished. Can you imagine Douglas Promenade without Frank Matcham's glorious Gaiety Theatre? Well, we'll get to the bottom of that. And we're talking to all sorts of people on Thursday about the Gaiety Theatre. The one-way traffic system on Douglas Promenade as the refurbishment works accelerate towards Easter 2021. Next year it's going to be finished, said the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Baker. Well, the one-way traffic system has been the cause for some complaint, shall we say. The complaint is that businesses are suffering. In response, the DOI says they're going to allow a southbound flow of traffic to go, not on the road, on the Prom Walkway. That was flagged up to start this week. So we sent John Moss down with a microphone.
Good afternoon, Andy. I'm walking along the walkway in the opposite direction to where the traffic will be coming if this turns into a southbound highway along the promenade. I say if, but it hasn't happened as yet. I've driven all the way along the promenade to see evidence of preparation for this. And I must admit, I can't see it at the moment. The Department for Infrastructure perhaps drawing its breath before getting this into operation. Nothing on the walkway at the moment. Obviously, there's no parking at the moment. Can't see anybody actually on the promenade walking as well. As I drove along, obviously, I was looking out to the right to see where vehicles will go onto this southbound carriageway, in effect. And obviously it'll be somewhere near Broadway, but no sign of it as yet. And then I had to get off the promenade, obviously, involved going up to Upper Douglas, where there is a lot more traffic, it has to be said, because traffic that would normally go down onto the promenade and come along that way, southbound, is now going down along Woodburn Road and down through Victoria Street. So there is quite a bit of traffic up there at the moment. When this system comes in, well, I don't know as yet. Obviously, it's been much flagged up in answer to those who said that perhaps businesses along this promenade are suffering because people are looking at it, and the prospect of having to go all the way along the promenade and then go all the way around Upper Douglas is putting them off, that this would help. Well, at the moment, no sign of this new system, which has been brought in to help alleviate that position, no sign of it as yet.
John, thank you. And go and get yourself a cup of tea. John Moss on Douglas Promenade. The Isle of Man government's adding that return lane to Douglas Prom, helping businesses on the south end of the prom to allow northbound traffic to return south along the walkway. It'll run from the access point used by walkway parking at Christmas through to the sea terminal. Cars will be able to return alongside the sea wall in a fully cone segregated area, leaving over 10 metres of width for other users. The measure is going to help businesses by make their deliveries and enable customers to be dropped off or picked up by car or taxi. And as soon as we know that it's going to start, you will know, because we'll probably send John Moss down there with a microphone again. It's all happening on the prom, of course. Summerhill closes this coming Wednesday for an eight-week period from Wednesday the 15th, this Wednesday, till the 8th of September. Vehicle access to Summerhill Place is being maintained from Summerhill Road, and all the businesses at the bottom of Summerhill will be open and fully accessible. That's the Pizza Place and the Curry House, fully accessible to pedestrians. Summerhill Slip Road will remain closed. In addition, Church Road Marina by Greensills Corner will also close week on Saturday, the 25th, reopens 10th of November. Access to Market Street maintained via Finch Road. So for a period of 6 weeks, Broadway, Summerhill and Church Road Marina all closed in order to facilitate the compressed scheme of works on the promenade. Broadway will reopen on the 8th of September when two-way traffic flow will be restored from that junction with Douglas Prom north to Summerhill. And from the 13th of July, i.e. today, that traffic flow on Lockham Harris promenades will be using the walkway between the Sunken Gardens past the War Memorial and exit north of the Broadway junction at Castle Mona Avenue. Well, we'll keep our eye on that. And indeed, if you're down on Douglas Promenade, if you want to send us a text or an email or a photo, if it does start, of course, if it's safe to do so, we'd love to hear from you. So that was John Moss. The other subject, anything else you want to talk about, by all means, text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com or call 661368. The future, something we've been talking about for a few weeks now on The Man in Line, e-scooters could soon become a new form of transport on the Isle of Man. E-electric scooters. The UK government's recently legalised the use of rental e-scooters on main roads. The Infrastructure Minister, Tim Baker, has been discussing whether the Isle of Man could follow suit. And when I say e-scooter, I don't mean, you know, the mods, a Lambretta or a Vespa. These are the tready ones, you know, the ones you stand on and tread. Mr. Baker says the move could help encourage more people into greener travel while opening up opportunities for futuristic technology.
Well, it's a very interesting move, and actually we do have some legislative work going on currently, which could well lead to the same thing happening on the Isle of Man. So there was some road traffic legislation which went through Keys last month in June, and it's currently in the process of going through Legislative Council's consideration process. And that would give the department powers to regulate the use of motorised scooters on the highways. And it will also give the department the power to regulate for the use of other new technology. So, for example, electric skateboards and hoverboards. So we're actually moving the legislation on the island forward in a way to effectively future-proof the legislative framework.
And could this potential move towards allowing e-scooters on Manx roads, could that be a good addition to your more active travel campaign?
I think for some people it would. For others, they perhaps, you know, wouldn't want to go anywhere near an electric skateboard or a hoverboard, but certainly perhaps for the younger generation it may well be quite an attractive thing to do. And, you know, certainly my objective is for us to start to embrace different forms of transport around the island, and to have an environment which makes all road users both safe and encourages them to use whatever their chosen form of transport is. And we do know that we need cars for certain journeys, but you know, walking, cycling, public transport, and these innovative transport methods all have a part to play, and we need to create the right environment, particularly in our towns, particularly around shorter journeys, to address those.
Well, e-scooters certainly are probably easier to ride than a bike, of course. Less hassle, you just stand on and off you go. They've got a motor in, you could also push as well. But e-scooters, the rental of e-scooters, I wonder if it's something you'd want to use, or indeed buy. Certainly electric skateboards, well, the technology's there. You just wonder whether that would happen. And hoverboards. Not the ones in, like in Back to the Future, but on a single balance on a single wheel. I just wonder whether that's something you'd like to see. Text us on 166177, email studio@maxradio.com. Cliffy, hey Cliffy, we're always told we can't do away with the Legislative Council as we need their critical scrutiny of policy and legislative made by our publicly elected MHK. Surely then there's a complete conflict of interest by the appointment of an MLC to a post in government that includes policy making. Where's the transparency the MLC concerned I don't think you should have the job, says Cliffy. Well, there we are. It's Marlene Masker, of course, who's got the job as in charge of buildings and estates, so she's in there in the Department of Infrastructure. Of course, highly qualified. She's an architect. She knows, and she's been involved in heritage for a long, long time, so amply qualified professionally for the position. Interesting to see, I don't know whether you caught David Christian, the leader of Douglas Borough Council, across the weekend, talking about the amount of flack that he personally had and the amount of abuse he got online for the role that Douglas Council played. Well, what they did was they made sure all the bins were emptied. That was one thing. Douglas Council, I think, performed admirably, getting sure, because at the height of the coronavirus pandemic, everyone was extremely concerned about everything, and Douglas Borough Council made sure that happened. Mr. Christian had a very simple message for keyboard warriors, and that was, get your name on the ballot form. Put yourself up for election. Well, a year in September, Keys has an election. I just wonder how many people we're going to see putting their names down to get elected by the public into the House of Keys. The situation we have is the situation we have. Keys publicly elected, MLCs nominated by someone, and then voted on by MHKs. That's the system we have, and lots of people have always been talking about reforming LegCo, whether or not LegCo should be publicly elected. Well, this is the situation we have, and until it's resolved, then that's the situation we have. Why are cyclists being put into the same segregated prom lane as pedestrians? Aren't they meant to stay off the pavement? Says that correspondent. Texters, Andy, just caught the end of a Channel 4 news yesterday. The headline was 250,000 new COVID cases globally in the last 24 hours. Well, coronavirus is rampant in lots and lots of places. New cases around the world, 6,500 in Russia, 5,000 in Mexico, 3,000 in Bangladesh, 3,000 in the Philippines, 3,000 in Pakistan, and these are only official ones, 2,500 in Iran, 2,000 in the Sultanate of Oman, 1,500 in Kazakhstan, 1,200 in Indonesia, and just less than 1,000 in Bolivia and Kuwait and Ukraine, and places like Honduras, 507, 500 in Kyrgyzstan as well. An enormous wave of COVID-19 is happening in places across the world. There are certainly places where they're a bit short on testing facilities, and we don't even know what's going on there. But 276 people died in Mexico across the weekend, 227 died in the Philippines, and 200 died in Iran. Those are just the new deaths. So you're quite right to point out, our correspondent, Brian, that COVID-19 is out and about. It will be interesting to hear. I'm really looking forward to the Chief Minister being on Wednesday just to see what his take. He's seen this from the inside from the very beginning. Chris said, e-scooters, I'm off to book my place in A&E now. There'll be no space when e-scooters appear. I think it's Cloud Cuckoo Land. And Rob said, let's introduce more silent death traps. Drivers and riders don't drive with due care and attention. Quite often speed down the road when people with visual impairment are trying to cross. Many times have I walked out in front of an electric car that's had to emergency stop because I can't hear them. What they don't appreciate is they're too wrapped up in as they're driving. And the plight of people who are visually impaired when it comes to electric cars is something that nobody's really got their head round. Unless you put a car noise like they do in Formula One, put a car noise like that thing they're doing with Premier League at the moment, pretending people are there by putting the e-game noise on there. Unless you put a noise on a car, people who are visually impaired simply can't hear anything. With electric scooters or electric bikes, that's the same problem. Let's see. Are the MHKs going to pay more into their pension like they're forcing the workforce to? This comes up periodically, doesn't it, about how much politicians get paid. I suppose probably take your lead from Mr. Christian. Become a politician if it's something, if money bothers you that much. In the UK, the e-scooter has to be hired and you need a driving licence or a provisional licence to hire an e-scooter. So now we can't have parking on the promenade because it's too dangerous. So how can now it can be a traffic roadway, says this correspondent. Peter, drop me a note. Thank you, Peter. I hope the e-scooters are going to have tax and insurance. Oh, dear, we're on this again. To protect the vehicle drivers who pay for the roads. I have an e-scooter, but because it has a seat and pedals, it's actually treated as an electric bike and is therefore legal to use on the roads. My problem is that I've talked to several insurance companies, but the only insurance offered is part of a household policy for theft or loss. As a responsible user, I want to have the same cover as a motorised vehicle. And that's from Ken in Ramsey. Well, that's really interesting. And normally the insurance industry is rather adept at finding a corner for itself in the market. So let's just go through this again. Ken's got an e-scooter, but it had a seat and pedals, so it's treated as an electric bike and therefore legal to use on the roads, but he can't get insurance. Several insurance companies only offer him theft or loss as part of a household policy, so you can't get third-party insurance. I want to have the same cover as a motorised vehicle, says Ken. Well, I know lots of people in the insurance industry. Listen to the man in line, so if you can offer us a way out. I'd like to challenge anyone to ride an e-scooter on the roads around Andrus. I struggle on my push bike with the potholes and the roads on the Isle of Man. That's Chris in Lumpy Andrus. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about dyslexia on the Isle of Man and the question of help for people who are dyslexic and certainly people who suffer from dyslexia throughout their lives. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture has revealed plans for a full review of provision for children with dyslexia. We heard some harrowing tales from people later on in life about the problems they had as children. So what are we doing now? Provision for children with dyslexia or literary difficulties. Details from Dolan.
The NHS says dyslexia is a common learning difficulty that can cause problems with reading, writing and spelling. The British Dyslexia Association believes one in 10 of us have the condition, which can have a significant impact during education, in the workplace and in everyday life. Aileen Broad says she's experienced what it's like to feel misunderstood.
Behind me is a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old who's struggling at school. They can't spell. They're going home. They're having those tears. They're having that frustration because they can't learn their spellings. And sadly, in my experience, from when I was at school in 1970s to now, there's not really a lot of change in the understanding of dyslexics.
At this year's Tynwald Day, a petition was submitted to try and raise the profile of dyslexia within the island's education system. Motivated by her own child's experiences with the learning condition, Julia Ferner wants teachers to undertake mandatory training in order to better assist students. She told me governments in other jurisdictions have done more.
My ultimate goal is for the Isle of Man to sign the Made by Dyslexia pledge, which Gibraltar have done. And they have made commitments to help children thrive in school by, for example, making every teacher do some training, mandatory training, on every year on dyslexia.
When asked to comment, the Education Department declined as the petition is a parliamentary issue. However, it's since been revealed that Minister Dr. Alex Allinson authorised a full review of provision for children affected by dyslexia back in May. One of the department's educational psychologists has been identified as the project lead. They will audit the profile of literacy difficulties and dyslexia on the Isle of Man, describe what good support for dyslexia and literacy looks like, including a review of current research, explore the literacy approach on the Isle of Man, including how schools currently support children and young people with literacy difficulties, consult stakeholders, provide a thematic analysis of findings, and make recommendations linked to the findings and research. Work on this will start in the new academic year, the department says, with findings and recommendations presented no later than Easter 2021.
And that's Dolan talking. If you want more information, by the way, the Manx Dyslexia Association is at manxdyslexia.com. That's manxdyslexia.com for all the information. Man in Lines on till one today. We're open line. Text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or call Manx Radio.
Take a tip from me. You can make a lot more of your garden when you visit Ramsey Garden Centre. They have everything you need to make your outdoors magical, from seasonal bedding and perennials to beautiful roses, shrubs and more. Light up your garden with their solar lighting and get inspired in their summer garden room, all at Ramsey Garden Centre. For all your garden needs, including expert help and advice, call 816 506 or pop into Ramsey Garden Centre, Albert Road, Ramsey. Open 7 days a week.
Love local, love the island.
Tyre alignment is vital for improving tyre life, fuel efficiency and safety. Island Tyres and Exhaust use the state-of-the-art Hunter Hawkeye Elite Wheel Alignment System. To book, call 613322 or visit Island Tyres and Exhaust, Selkie, Douglas.
Strang and Ballacamine stores are offering a delivery service throughout Douglas, Onchan, Moraun and Santon. If we don't stock it, we can get it. Message us on Facebook or call 852274 or 629241.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools. Made to measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Howard Street, Douglas, call 611 856 or see bondfabrics.im.
Love local, love the island.
Hello. Today we're visiting rossgower.com to see what they offer over the alternatives. Can I get an instant car insurance quote online? Yes. Tick. Can I buy my insurance online straight away? Yes. Tick. Do I have to wait for my documents? No, they're instantly emailed to me. Tick. Am I immediately covered to drive in the UK and Europe at no extra cost for up to 30 days? That's a tick. Ah, can I pay monthly? Yes. Big tick. So there you go. Covered. Completely. In just a tick. Ross Gower Group Limited is licensed in Guernsey by the Guernsey Financial Services Commission, subject to standard underwriting.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skip will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
This Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock, join Kiri Kermode and Simon Clark for the brand new series of Countryside.
I catch up with dairy farmers in Vicky and Neil Sloan Masson from Bala Cricket.
And I find out more about what's been happening in these unprecedented times in the forestry, the fisheries, the food and agricultural side of the Isle of Man with DEFA Minister Geoffrey Boot.
That's all in Countryside at 6 o'clock on Tuesday here on Manx Radio. You can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
Thank you, Terry. He just said, what's this about level four? What's the, how is this going? Well, it's been on Manx Radio all across the weekend, but I'll run through it in just a moment time. Two surveys aiming to assess the economic impact of the C19 pandemic have been launched as well. The Coronavirus Business Survey and the Coronavirus Household Impact Survey. Now, you've got until this Wednesday to take part in them. Just go to gov.im and you'll find some links through to the surveys. The Coronavirus Business Survey has been emailed to employers signed onto the online services. It's got to be completed by a senior member of the organisation, such as the chief exec or MD. And the Household Impact Survey is directed at residents of the Isle of Man and is designed to get an accurate picture of personal finances. and how they've been affected and changed in spending matters. The survey's taken no longer than about 20 minutes to complete online, and it's hoped as many people as possible will take the time to provide the required information. Similar surveys were run early in June, and the latest versions will provide an important update in light of the relaxation of social distancing, the lifting of other restrictions, and the many sectors returning to economic activities. Now, everything is treated in the strictest confidence. It's never connected with any other records or identifying information. Closing date for the information and filling it out is Wednesday the 15th, this coming Wednesday. The more people get in touch, the more people take part, more accurate a record will be gained as well. Carl, thank you, Carl. Maybe Mr. Christian should be reminded that we pay him to empty bins. Well, not personally. I don't think David Christian empties bins. That's what the rates are for. Quite wise, expecting a medal from Douglas ratepayers for doing this. Carl, I don't think he is expecting a medal. I think what he's expecting is not to be abused online by keyboard warriors day and night, really. The council had to do what the council had to do. And during all this, bins have been emptied. I think also a lot of the abuse heaped on Mr. Christian was because the council was responsible for graveyards, and graveyards were locked. They were deemed as being places where people would gather. And Mr. Christian got a lot of criticism for that. He was doing his job. He's the leader of the council, and that's what the council had to do. So I don't think, with being fair to Mr. Christian, I don't think he wants anybody to clap for him or a statue or anything like that. He just wants online abusers to take the long view and perhaps put the keyboard down and get nominated for public office. Will the e-scooter be allowed on a bus, says Eric, unlike my mobility scooter? Is that not yet sorted out, Eric? Education support. Ramsey Primary Schools have lost 7 classroom assistants through redundancy. The education provision through, this will all come out, I think, as we go on. The provision of education across the island has not been uniform, shall we say. Kenny, thank you for that note as well. Kath, Andy, how much more traffic holdups will be caused by e-scooters in addition already to bicycles? Now, unlike Holland, there just isn't road space or purpose-built lanes for separate e-scooters and bicycle use. Plus, the roads here on the Isle of Man are narrow and winding, and there's nowhere for motorists to overtake while the people on bikes and scooters hold up the traffic. It raises people's blood pressure. Kath, it's a changing world, and if we're to move to a green agenda, which we all seem to be moving to a green agenda, then maybe that will be the future and the use of cars will be restricted. You never know. I think the public can and should feel that they can question or criticise politicians, but not to threaten or insult them. This doesn't mean that they themselves want or should become politicians just because sitting politicians can't handle criticism or try to deflect it, says that correspondent. No name on that as well. Your point of view, of course, it just depends where criticism of a politician ends and insults and abuse. And of course, offence is in the eye and the ear of the beholder. Some people are more thick-skinned than others. Some people couldn't care less about being abused. And some people bother about it. Who's to say who's right? I don't understand why only the traveller has to self-isolate, not the whole household, when we go to level 4. Surely they can pass it on. Well, I've got the information now, and we're moving from level 5 to level 4 on Monday the 20th. Next Monday, very big day. Council of Ministers agreed that from Monday the 20th, the island's going to move from level 5 to level 4 in the Isle of Man Borders Framework, which you can find, by the way, if you go to gov.im/coronavirus. It's a helpful little graphic to show you going from level 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. And 5 was essential only, essential travel only. 4, next Monday, is non-essential resident travel. Now, this will enable you, a resident of the Isle of Man, to visit the UK and beyond if you're prepared to self-isolate for 14 days on return, and it will replace the repatriation process. So, got it? You're a resident of the Isle of Man. You can go to the UK anywhere you want, but you must self-isolate for 14 days on return. Isle of Man residents who wish to return to the island from Monday 20th must have a Manx entry permit. Okay, you've got to get the piece of paper granted by demonstrating residency. It's all via an online application process. Access for non-residents tightly restricted. Non-residents can at some point come. I think the Chief Minister said that was down to for medical reasons and also for compassionate reasons as well. But this is all about residents. A permit isn't required to leave the island. You can go anytime you want. But after next Monday the 20th, island residents must have a Manx entry permit in place to get back. And they must complete an online landing form within a 48-hour period prior to travelling back to the island to provide arrival details. Get it? You can't get back unless you have a Manx entry permit, and you have to fill out a landing form within 48 hours prior to coming back to the Isle of Man. The details will include the address at which you're going to isolate on your return, as well as your contact number, and you'll also be required to make a health declaration. It's important to be aware that the restrictions on anyone entering the Isle of Man will remain unchanged. A period of 14 days self-isolation, mandatory for everyone, and this must be carefully considered before you decide to travel. Come back, it has to be 14 days self-isolation. Random checks will be made on those returning to the Isle of Man to ensure that they're adhering to self-isolation and helping to protect the wider island community. So no sneaking out. Applications for Manx entry permits open next week. Available by the online services this week at the government website. That's gov.im/online services. That's the situation next Monday the 20th. It's a really big day. In fact, we've got two big days. We've got next week will be the budget statement by the Treasury Minister, and next Monday is the move from level 5 to level 4. A very big day. Some people not happy about it. Some people just want to crack on and say, well, we'll accept what happens. I wonder what you feel about that. Text on 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. G, perhaps politicians should use pogo sticks for active travel in Douglas. Their policies are all over the place. They'll be used to bouncing about. G, I wonder if you'd say that to their face. Says that. Let's have a look here. Andy, why do you keep telling us to stand for election ourselves if we express concern at the way elected representatives in Douglas Council and government are performing? It's like saying, if you don't like the performance of a tradesman you're not employing, he's entitled to tell you to do it yourself. We're paying and employing them to do a good job. If Mr. Christian doesn't like the heat, he shouldn't be in the kitchen. I agree. Politicians volunteer for public duty. They get a public mandate and they do their job. I suppose, and that's an unsigned... Oh, it's Tina. Thank you, Tina. Got your name. Tina, where do you put the line? Honest political debate? Diverse opinion? Polemic? Heated debate? And insults? Who decides which line goes where? Now, politicians are used to insults. They get them all the time. But out of hours, 24 hours a day, anonymous. ¼. Any thoughts?
Manx Radio.
For your new bathroom, visit Qplas, the most extensive bathroom showroom on the island. With over 50 stunning displays from leading brands, including hundreds of bathroom fittings, tiles and flooring. Qplas provide free design and 4D virtual display, so you can really see how your new bespoke bathroom will look. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate or see online. Qplas. You imagine, we design.
Qplas.co.il.
Now there are new essentials on your shopping list. You want enhanced hygiene permanently. You want to shop nearby and not overpay. You want open till 10 to avoid peak time queues and special hours for the elderly and vulnerable. You want to do the right thing and support Manx jobs and businesses. You want shopping with a welcome difference, like ranges by Sainsbury's. Where can you find every one of the new essentials? ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Just Care Products for mobility solutions.
Just Care Products are here for you in these uncertain times. With strict protocols in place following government guidelines, you can be confident that your well-being is our top priority. With telephone and delivery options, why not give us a call and discuss your needs? Right behind B&Q, we're open Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Call us on
627-177.
Looking to reduce your carbon footprint and your energy bills? Nexium can help. With our exclusive Isle of Man heat loss software, we can identify the key heat loss areas in your home. As fully qualified installers of ground and air source heat pumps, solar energy, and the island's providers of Isonine spray foam insulation, let's make our island greener with Nexium. Visit homeofthefuture.im or call the Nexium team on 48 47 47.
Reynolds & Reynolds, the newest name for quality pre-loved cars and vehicles on the Isle of Man. Reynolds & Reynolds have a stunning showroom conveniently located on the Isle of Man Business Park. Reynolds & Reynolds stock a fabulous range of affordable vehicles and also supply, service and repair most makes and models. Open 7 days a week. Go on, call in today and see some friendly faces at Reynolds & Reynolds Vehicle Sales or online at reynolds.im. Part exchange and finance available. This infomercial was brought to you by Bespoke Group.
It's Radio Caroline North, back this weekend, live from the Ross Revenge.
Hello, Simon.
Hello.
We have virtual money to give away in the competition, and we're sponsored this time by Feature Story News. We have music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and into the 90s. Join us this weekend with Caroline North and our friends from Manx Radio.
Radio Caroline North, back on 1368 AM.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. Furnished by Magic Carpets.
Thank you, Big Phil. Good on my head. Perhaps David Christian should devote some more time to having bins restored on Douglas Walkway instead of slapping himself on the back. Despite emailing him, there's still not a single bin on the walkway from Summerhill to Broadway, nowhere to deposit rubbish or dog fowl. Bins could easily be placed at the beach access points. I'm not a keyboard warrior, says Big Phil. I'd say it to his face, Big Phil. I think you would as well. And I think kind of everybody knows where honest political debate starts and finishes. But insults, middle of the night, all sorts. I just wonder. No doubt, says Lisa, this will give the DOI an excuse to build an e-scooter lane to further ruin traffic. Quite why we seem to model our infrastructure on somewhere like Vietnam, which is full of people on bicycles, not on some first world place where we all travel by car, is anyone's guess. Thank you, Lisa. And active travel is something we'll be looking a lot more at active travel. In fact, we're trying to get some outside broadcast as to where active travel centres would be in the future. I wonder, oh, Cliffy, I wonder how long before Mr. Baker bans all petrochemical vehicles. Good luck to him on his scooter over the mountain in TT week. What's the point in doing a random check, says a random texter? The point of doing anything random is to warn people not to break it, because you never know when a random check will be done and you may be nicked. The DOI should concentrate on fixing roads before thinking about allowing small-wheeled e-scooters, says Ron. If you just joined us, in the UK, they've licensed the rental of these e-scooters. The ones, you know, that you stand on and push with you. They've got a motor in the back and you whiz along at great speed. Which a few people have said, that's great, but try getting up Richmond Hill or Crellin's Hill with one. Try getting up the Slock with one, Ballacalawi. That'd be lots of fun. Or maybe coming down easier, but you never know. What happens when you return from the UK? The rest of your family can go to work as only you need to self-isolate. But if you're not showing any signs you passed it on to other family members who are free to roam. Hasn't this been thought through properly, says Dave Kay. I would imagine they have thought it through. And again, I'll be bringing this up with the Chief Minister on Wednesday. It's all about probabilities. And I don't know about whether you were listening on Friday when Lawrence Skelly, the Enterprise Minister, was on. And I asked him the question, we've been 50 plus days without a case. Will there be a day in the future when someone comes on to say there's a confirmed case of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man? He said, yes, it will happen. Hello, Joyce.
Hello, Andy.
Have you got an e-scooter?
No, I haven't. I have no intention of getting one.
What's your view on e-scooters?
Right, my view is that my electric cars on these electric bikes, I am dead against the proposal. Anyone visually impaired is a disaster waiting to happen.
Do you think, though, it's the noise or the lack of noise that bothers you?
Well, it's the lack of noise, actually.
Right, OK. So if they had, and they do it on Formula One cars, they put like a horn on that makes a noise. If yes. Electric vehicles could have a noise on them, that would be OK.
Well, electric cars, yes. I don't think for the electric bikes, no. I think, actually, between you and I, Andy, I think the motorist is suffering very badly. What with Glen Crutchery Road, I honestly think there's an accident waiting to happen there.
Well, apparently it'll all be better when everything's finished and we'll all look back on this and say it was worth it, Joyce.
Well, I don't think so. But anyway, we'll wait and see.
All right. Good to hear from you, Joyce.
Okay, Andy.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
That. Good to hear from you. A charity on the Isle of Man, which works with some of the island's most vulnerable groups and people, says since lockdown restrictions were lifted, there's been a surge in people getting in touch. And that charity is Victim Support Isle of Man. Something they expected to happen, it's largely due to domestic abuse. The manager of Victim Support Isle of Man is Paula Gelling.
We've just looked at our statistics and just for the month of June, we've seen twice the amount of referrals that we'd have had ordinarily. So, yeah, that's a 100% increase. Even in lockdown, we were busy. Not so many much in the way of referrals, but people who we already had contact with and who we were speaking to were actually reaching out for support. But now, oh boy, we have found it busy and people are coming to us. In terms of domestic abuse, it would be the same as we would ordinarily see, just more people. And we're all had to be controlled because of COVID and things. But unfortunately, that would mean that in a domestic abuse situation, if one person is more controlling and has more power over another, they would use and exert that power even more so. So they were very much contained and had very, you know, restricted lives. So as we're seeing that as relaxation is happening, that people are more readily able to talk about it and seek support. But also we have people inquiring, you know, that things were intolerable as a relationship over COVID and they're seeking, you know, maybe to sort of seek a divorce. So we're pointing the direction of the lawyers, who I understand are also busy.
Does there need to be more of a support system when you see a spike like this?
Well, I think all agencies, you know, are working together anyway to see what's the best fit for an individual. So if perhaps somebody has perhaps got an alcohol issue, but there also is domestic abuse, it might be the agencies with the dealing with the alcohol issues are taking the main lead on that, but then supported by ourselves in terms of domestic abuse. So it kind of depends what the main issue might be. Or if, say, there was children involved and there's issues with children, it would be the social service was taking a lead on that, but then we might be involved if it was domestic abuse.
So if somebody does need to get in touch, how do they go about doing so?
We're open Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30, and they can contact us on 679950 for an appointment, or they can email us on inquiries@victimsupport.im. But please get in touch, you know, no question's a silly question, and it might be that we're not the right agencies, but we'll try and signpost people to the right agency or business if it need be, or agency, whatever that might be, to suit that individual's needs.
There were 224 domestic violence incidents recorded by the island's police between March and June, lockdown, a 21% increase compared to 2019. A spokesman for the constabulary said the police continue to support victims of domestic abuse and investigate when at all possible. They continue to work with partner agencies and the third sector, the charity world, in providing the best support and means of reporting domestic abuse. That's something we have our eye on, and we'll report back when we get more. It's 10 to 1 now. Howard joins us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. No, just, well, I haven't listened to all the programme. You can sack me if you want. But talking about the electric scooters and electric cycles, I've been going out recently on the Heritage Trail, and I have to say the DOI have done a grand job, or whoever's looking after it, and it is. It's very good. And this is with our great-grandson, bear in mind, he's 8. And what I have noticed, and I was saying to Howard, very few, if any, are the bikes coming along are fitted with a warning device, a bell, a horn, anything, and all they're shouting is, coming through! And, you know, they're already on you by then. Personally speaking, I don't think if any of us bought locally, they shouldn't be let out of the shop without a warning device of some description, a bell. Because the paths down there are excellent, ideal, but they are narrow. And if you get four people, that's a grandson and myself, and maybe two others coming from behind you, you haven't a clue because it's so quiet. It's an excellent system, but it's falling down on the fact that there's no warning devices on fitted on bikes.
Whereabouts on the Heritage Trail is it, Howard?
Well, it starts, that's why those puffin crossings are put down the quarter bridge, if anybody's curious. You can come from the NSC, and then you go down the access road all the way through, and through Union Mills, under the road at Union Mills, and we actually went and parked by Maroun School on Saturday and came back to Union Mills. The next fine day, when we're going out again, we'll go the other way. We'll park up there and go out towards Crosby. Because at my age, I don't want to be doing too much. I'm 76. And my friends is listening now. They'll be laughing and falling over. But it's an excellent system. And the young fella, he loves it. But that's the only thing I find, that there's no means of letting you know that somebody behind you. And it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's possible it could be an accident. But it is, it's first class, and that apparently eventually is going to go all the way through to Peel. And I spoke to a couple down there, and they've been using the Heritage Trail on the north of the island. They're eventually going to go, following the railway lines, all the way through to Ramsey. And it is a good system.
Okay, Howard, good to talk to you.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, thanks for being with us today. And Andy's with us. Hello, Andy.
Hi, Andy. The last sitting of Tynwald before the summer recess on July the 21st, I wondered if you'd actually seen it there. Item 43 on the agenda, speed limits. The Honourable Member for Middle, Mr. Shimmins, to move that the maximum speed limit to apply on A, urban roads should be 20 miles per hour, and B, narrow rural lanes should be 30 miles per hour. Sneaking this in before the summer recess.
It's only a proposal, though, isn't it?
No, he's moving. It's not... Well, What do they do when they move something if people agree with it? What then happens?
And do you think people would agree? Do you think Tynwald would go for a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit and a 30-mile-an-hour on country lanes?
Depends how much. This is the last sitting before the summer recess. Depends on what the other MHKs have in their mind. Let's get something over and done with. Bang, bang, bang. Yes, we agree.
I'm taking it from your tone of voice, Andy. You're not a fan of these speed limits.
Well, not to that extent. So here we have a cyclist, that's what his profile says on his page, a cyclist wanting to introduce speed limits.
Well, Mr. Shimmins is a politician, he's a self-confessed cyclist, nothing wrong with that, that's fine. Lots of people are cyclists, and he's a politician, so he's entitled to put forward legislation. But I mean, if you disagree with it, you disagree with it. Do you think, in principle, that speed limits should be there, or it's just the size of these speed limits?
I think it's just the size of the speed limits. And on urban roads, yes. Out of town, no. But I'm just wondering how many other people might actually speak with their politicians, their MHKs, and find out how they're proposing to vote, bearing in mind we're dealing with the 21st, next Tuesday. So people do have advance warning.
Andy, thanks for bringing that up with us today. That's actually bringing me on to another subject about next Tuesday, the 21st. Thanks, Andy, for your call. Is, of course, budget. The Treasury Minister, Alfred Cannon, will be announcing the budget. It's fair to say it's the biggest budget on the Isle of Man for a very, very long time. Nobody knows the size of the hole that's been made in our national economy by COVID-19. Lots of people are saying we should get out of it, but how? Anyway, next Tuesday, budget programming on Manx Radio. And that's it. Thanks to Howard Kane today for production. I'm Andy Wint. Back tomorrow at 12.
WINT.